The Rogue River system continued a trend last year and lost a few more dams. In this case, a tributary, Evans Creek, saw the removal of a pair of dams in the Weimer area north of the city of Rogue River. The group Water Watch Oregon was instrumental in that pair of dam removals, part of its continuing efforts to make Oregon waterways better for all critters. So let's talk about last year's highlights and what's on the agenda for this year. Jim McCarthy is the communications director for all of Water Watch Oregon and its Southern Oregon program manager, and he's in the studio with me here. Your first studio guest of the year. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about some of the milestones. I understand that Water Watch Oregon itself celebrated something of a major birthday in 2015.
That's right. It was our 30th anniversary. So we celebrated 30 years of working to protect and restore rivers in Oregon. And yeah, it was a big celebration.
Has the job gotten easier over 30 years? I mean, when you think about the things that were on the agenda in 1985, for example, when Elk Creek Dam was just about to be built, and that ended up not getting completed, and in fact has been notched by dynamite since that time to let Elk Creek flow through again. So it's been an interesting landscape to deal with over the course of 30 years, I'm thinking.
Well, I can't claim to have worked for Water Watch for 30 years. I've only been working with them since the early 2000s. But yes, it is absolutely true that it has gotten easier to work on rivers, especially in the Rogue Basin. The recognition of the recreational and environmental benefits of rivers for our communities has risen steadily over the decades. Between the time that Water Watch was formed and the end of its first decade, the In-Stream Water Rights Act was passed. This was instrumental. This was a bill that recognized the value of keeping water in stream for fish, wildlife, and recreation. Before that, our laws had not recognized that as a beneficial use. That's a key term under the law for the use of water, if it's a beneficial use. So this allowed stream flows to be protected under the ordinary water rights law that we have that governs the rest of the state. So that was a key advancement. And also over this time, people have been fighting to remove obsolete dams. And when we started, that was something that really shocked people's understanding that dams were a symbol of progress. But now people have begun to understand in large swaths of the country that all dams have an expiration date. There's a time that dams' usefulness ends, and there's a time when we have to gauge the harm to the river versus the benefit of the dam and figure out if it's time for those dams to come out. And indeed, many dams have reached that expiration date, and right now we're going through a process of removing some of those obsolete dams in the Rogue.
These issues are of a piece, though. I mean, when you talk about in-stream water rights and dams, I mean, they both deal with the issue of where the water should go or where the water should be taken off to, because that's what dams are for, taking water out of the river in a lot of cases. Over time, then, are you saying that originally, without the In-Stream Water Rights Act, that the idea was there was no perceived value for water actually staying in the stream?
That's right. And indeed, even now, rivers are allowed to run dry in certain places if there is no in-stream water right for the fish and wildlife, or there is no endangered species in that stream. So it is still legal to run a river completely dry or very near to dry. For example, you'll see that on the Upper Deschutes. I mean, the Upper Deschutes outside of Bend is an incredible amenity for the city of Bend. It's an incredible draw from around the country for people who want to come to a gorgeous river right outside of a beautiful city and fish. But every year there's a drawdown that kills, in 2013 it killed thousands of fish. There aren't listed fish in there. There's not an in-stream water right that has a priority date. There is an in-stream water right for that segment of river, but there is an in-stream water right with a priority date, meaning it's not first in line for water. There's other uses that have higher earlier claim to the water. So that river goes down to a trickle, and the fish die in droves. And so that's still allowed. That's something that Water Watch has been working for decades to address.
There's no percentage walk back. In other words, if the river is down to this flow, then the major users can only take out X percent, anything like that?
Well, it'll run from, they'll run it at 1,000 CFS, and then they'll, during the summer, and then they'll drop it to 20 in the fall. And that's pretty rough on the fish and all the other systems that that depend on the river.
We're talking about water issues and streams with Jim McCarthy. He's the communications director and the Southern Oregon program manager for Water Watch Oregon. We're talking about the accomplishments of last year and the agenda items for this year. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Your thoughts about streams in your neighborhood that you think need some protection or things you'd like to praise in terms of protection that's happened already. 800-838-3760, the phone number to call if you'd like to join us by phone around the region. If you'd like to join by email, send that to jx@jeffnet.org. So let's talk about the dam removals. Fielder and Weimer dams were the two on Evans Creek, north of the city of Rogue River. What was it that made those particular diversions so important in the eyes of Water Watch?
Well, they were important also to the eyes of fish agencies. National Marine Fisheries Service had identified the removal of those dams as key to recovery of coho, which are listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. So those are that's a struggling population of salmon in the Rogue Basin. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife had also identified those two dams as top 10 in their priority list for the state for removal. They have a top 10 list of fish barriers in the state, and those two dams were on the list because of their importance for giving access to salmon and steelhead to high quality habitat above the dam. So those two dams were old and obsolete. They weren't being used, and they were killing fish, and they were blocking fish from migrating up and down. So except in all but the ideal conditions of flow. So we got together with the landowners, and we formed a coalition with fisheries groups, sportsmen who are interested in restoring productivity in that tributary. And we raised the funds and removed those dams at no cost to the landowners.
I understand the landowners were not terribly pleased about that either. There was some mention in the media, and I know that the reporters from our newsroom were not allowed close access to the removals of the dams. What was the story there?
Well, there was no controversy around Weimer's removal. There was some controversy around the Fielder removal. There was some landowners next adjacent to the pool who did not want to see the dam removed. But again, the dam was killing endangered species, and indeed there was no water right for the dam any longer, so they weren't allowed to store water there. So it was essentially an illegal dam. And so Water Watch approached the landowners, and again, the landowners did sign an agreement, and we removed that dam at no cost to them, and indeed they were paid $5,000 for their troubles.
Has the idea of dam removal gotten a lot easier for a lot of people to accept? I mean, given that we've seen, what, three dams taken off the main stem of the Rogue between Grants Pass and Shady Cove?
That's right. We've seen the Savage Rapids Dam removed. We've seen Gold Ray Dam removed. And we've seen the City of Gold Hill Dam removed in a very short period of time, opening up 157 miles of the main stem Rogue. And, you know, we've already seen a lot of evidence of the benefit of those removals for fish populations. You know, the spawning nests in those former stagnant reservoir pools, you know, that have just exploded. There's been seen a real benefit to even cutthroat trout, who seem to have been had a lot of trouble with those dams because of the way that their life cycle is. Those dams were a barrier to them. They're not really good jumpers and climbers. So cutthroat are certainly a welcome species in the Rogue. For me, I'm not the best fly fisherman in there. They're not the smartest of fish, and they're great to catch again and again.
You got to be smarter than what you're fishing for.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
All right, Jim McCarthy is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, communications director for the group Water Watch Oregon. He's also the Southern Oregon program manager for the group. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone around the listening area, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Back to the issue of the dams that have been removed, I do remember that when the discussion began about the removal of Savage Rapids Dam about two decades ago, there was a lot of opposition to it. It was certainly was one of the few slack water places on the Rogue where, for example, you could go water skiing. And we certainly had complaints about property owners who liked living on a lake instead of on a free-flowing stream. Don't hear much about that aspect of things anymore from people objecting to, I mean, river, you know, waterfront property is waterfront property, I suppose, but has that remained an issue?
Well, waterfront property in the Rogue is very valuable, and just as you know, living here just becoming more and more valuable. I again, as we were discussing at the beginning, I think, I mean, certainly there are trade-offs with any of these decisions, and on balance, the removals have provided an extraordinary benefit to the Rogue Basin. I think that's something that's becoming recognized more and more, and that's something that I think we're gonna see more and more recognition going forward. Like I said, it's becoming easier and easier, and people do understand the benefits, and also, you know, begin to understand that if you have a water ski front property, or you have a property that's fronting onto an excellent river full of salmon, steelhead, and cutthroat trout, you have a valuable property.
Now, your group is Water Watch Oregon, and of course, the Klamath River starts in Oregon, but runs for quite a while through California, where three of the four dams slated for removal are located. How involved are you with the efforts to figure out what to do on the Klamath River, particularly now that the Klamath agreements have lapsed at the end of this past year?
Well, I personally have been involved in the Klamath negotiations and the Klamath dam removals for over a decade now. And Water Watch was part of the initial negotiations leading up to the Klamath agreements. We were involuntarily excluded from those agreements while they were being undertaken by the Bush administration.
You were excluded by the Bush administration?
Well, it was that would have been a violation of federal law, so mm-hmm. they did it in a way that made it seem like they weren't violating federal law, but we thought it was likely a violation of federal law. But leaving all that aside, we did oppose the agreements because they didn't solve the fundamental problem of the water budget in the basin. It relied on vast quantities of imaginary water, unfortunately, that would have left the downstream fisheries at great risk. So we didn't think it made sense to remove the dams in this package, only to let the fish die for lack of water. And we had advocated all along that we should go for the FERC relicensing process, hopefully with a negotiated settlement in the midst of that, that would remove those dams as a standalone
With no other
package.
Water agreements?
Yeah, we didn't think, well, right now, those Klamath agreements, not only did they have a water agreement about the issues between the tribes and the irrigators, but also there was a refuge management component in there. There was, there was a piece in there about stripping tribes who hadn't even signed the agreements of their treaty rights. So there was over 50 tribes that wrote letters to Congress opposing the agreements. So there was a lot of stuff in that package that was quite controversial. Indeed, you know, it was a $1 billion package, and getting that through Congress would be quite difficult. And another thing that wasn't mentioned quite a bit is that there was a $100 million piece of that was going to go to an irrigator group called the Klamath Water and Power Agency that is currently under investigation.
QAPA, yeah.
Yeah, under investigation for alleged misuse of $48 million in taxpayer funds. So there was a lot of controversial stuff in that package. I know it was kind of a feel-good story for a lot of people, but for those who are paying very close attention, it was extraordinarily fraught. And right now we're hoping that the remnant Klamath Hydropower Settlement Agreement can be renegotiated, because right now there is two key pieces of funding that, as far as we can tell, are still available. There's $200 million from the ratepayers of PacifiCorp in Oregon and California, and there's $200 million in the California Water Bond that could be made available for that removal. And we think that would be the cheapest thing for PacifiCorp's ratepayers right now, is to go directly to a slightly renegotiated settlement for the removals of those dams and not go through what is now going to happen, which is a continuation of the FERC process. Again, if we can't get the settlement, we're happy to participate in the FERC process and see those dams removed at the end. But right now we've got a structure that could work. Unfortunately, you know, it's clear that we're not going to be able to get one of the things PacifiCorp wanted to get liability waived at the federal level by Congress so when the dams are going to remove, they didn't want to have any liability for anything that possibly might happen, and they wanted the federal government to do that. Congress has clearly made it clear that they're not going to do that. We waited around for 5 years for them to pass a piece of legislation that hasn't even gotten a floor vote in either house. So hopefully that package can be renegotiated. And indeed, you know, there's other water negotiations that could occur in other key sub-basins of the Klamath to help bring up stream flows for fish in a way that doesn't rely on make-believe water like the KBRA did, unfortunately.
Jim McCarthy is the communications director for WaterWatch Oregon. We're talking about water issues in Oregon, in this case extending into California as well in the body of the Klamath River Basin. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. And for the folks who aren't used to the acronym FERC, that's the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, because the dam licenses expired or in the process of expiring, they have to be relicensed, is the point, or taken out.
That's right. They usually last 30 to 50 years. So they were last licensed in 1956. They expired in 2006, and the dams have run on annual licenses since 2006. And so it's been a great boon for PacifiCorp. You know, they could have had to upgrade those to modern standards, or been asked to do some middling upgrades on those annual licenses, and instead they've just run the river like you would in 1956, and it's been terrible for water quality. It's been very bad for the fish. I mean if you go down there certain times of year, that water that's coming out of those dams will kill your dog. So it's a very bad situation for the river and the people who depend on it.
There's two sources of money you talked about, $200 million from the PacifiCorp ratepayers. And if you look at your power bill, if you pay a Pacific power bill, you'll notice there are line items on there specifically for dam removals. $200 million from them, $200 million from California, did you say? State of California?
Yeah, there's a section of the California water bond that recently passed. It's a $10 billion bond. But right, there's $200 million in there that could go for the Klamath dam removals.
So, I mean, you divide by four dams, that's $100 million per dam. Is that enough?
Yeah, well, in the lead up to these agreements, there were a number of analyses of dam removal costs, and so the low end was around $200 million, and then I've seen, you know, lately higher estimates, but that was the reason that those numbers were picked, was that it believed that $400 million was a safe bet to cover the cost. And indeed, during the last negotiations over the Klamath agreements during the Klamath Basin Task Force, there was discussion that, you know, if we got these dams removed for less than $400 million, we could use some of that bond money for restoration purposes around the Klamath. So a lot of the people, you know, who know about this thing don't necessarily believe that it's going to go all the way up to $400 million to take those dams out. But again, the proof will be in the removal.
So we got the Klamath covered here. We've talked about the Rogue. You mentioned the Deschutes a bit. What are some of the other priority items on the agenda list for WaterWatch Oregon for this year?
Well, we're working with others to figure out other barriers that might be removed in the Rogue. That's a key issue. I mean, we haven't solved all the barrier issues in the Rogue, and there are quite a number of barriers that are still on the state's priority barrier list, but are not in the top 10. The top 10 has now shrunk to 8, thankfully. So we're working on that in the Rogue. We're working with a large number of partners on looking at places that flow can be improved in the Rogue. And there has been a lot of discussion about how to deal with drought. We are working to try to help the state and local authorities figure out better policies for dealing with drought, since as we enter into the period of climate change, we're going to need to figure out ways to be more resilient in the face of longer droughts, deeper droughts, perhaps more frequent droughts, higher temperatures. And so that's going to involve looking at the ways we manage water and figuring out how to manage it better. I mean, right now, for example, we don't measure roughly half the water that's diverted in the state of Oregon. So you can't manage what you don't measure. So we'd like to see greater effort for measuring. We would like to see more funding for management. So right now, our Water Resource Department is spread very thin over vast areas where a lot of water use occurs. We just don't collect fees on water. So it's a very valuable resource, but that, you know, diverting water is free. So we'd like to see, you know, just some price signal in there to help incentivize conservation and to help pay for the kind of management that will be required when we have a much more difficult situation where we have more frequent droughts and we need to figure out how to manage things so that we can get through.
Any concern on the part of WaterWatch Oregon that as we talk about getting into drought, that people will begin to agitate for more reservoirs to hold water back when the years are good, so that you're talking about dams all over again?
Oh, that concern has already been realized. People do agitate for dams. And again, those things are very expensive, and a lot of the low-hanging fruit has already been plucked. I mean, pretty much all the low-hanging fruit, the ones that were the cost-benefit analysis proved out, people were not shy about building dams and reservoirs in our recent history. So that's why we say, you know, we should, if we want to manage water, we need to measure it. If we really want to treat this resource as incredibly valuable as it is, we need to have some price point on it, and then we can better manage it. And I think that should be first before we try to build massive new reservoirs.
Well, this will not be by any stretch the last time we talk about water issues on the exchange this year. It'll happen many, many, many more times. You can be sure of that. Jim McCarthy is the Communications Director and the Southern Oregon Program Manager for WaterWatch Oregon. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.